From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Acquiring Perseverance. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. We are not to expect to win victories for the Lord Jesus by a single blow. Evil principles and practices die hard. In some places it takes years of labor to drive out even one of the many vices which defile the inhabitants. We must carry on the war with all our might, even when favored with little manifest success. Our business in this world is to conquer it for Jesus. We are not to make compromises, but to exterminate evils. We are not to seek popularity, but to wage unceasing war with iniquity. Infidelity, popery, drink, impurity, oppression, worldliness, error, these are all to be put out. The Lord our God can alone accomplish this. He works by His faithful servants, and blessed be His name, He promises that He will so work. Jehovah thy God will put out those nations before thee. This He will do by degrees, that we may learn perseverance, may increase in faith, may earnestly watch, and may avoid carnal security. Let us thank God for a little success, and pray for more. Let us never sheathe the sword, till the whole land is won for Jesus. Courage, my heart. Go on little by little, for many littles will make a great whole. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns begins an examination of verses 12 through 21 of chapter 5. In the preceding verses of the chapter, the Apostle Paul has set forth the glorious truth of the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ. Now he presents an exposition of the fundamental consequence of that doctrine. As Dr. Cairns will explain, verses 12 through 21 are regarded as the heart of the epistle, and are some of the most difficult verses to comprehend. In commencing the message, Dr. Cairns first emphasizes the importance of understanding the connection between these verses and those which have preceded them. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message entitled Covenant Theology.
Tonight we're turning in the studies in Romans to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 11. According to some of the greatest students of the book, this is the heart of the book of Romans. By everybody's account, it is the most difficult part of the book of Romans. And it will no doubt help you immensely when I tell you that the great Martin Lloyd-Jones, having preached through Romans 1 through 4 and the first half of verse 5, informed his Bible class, now that's the nice stuff, that's the stuff we all like to think about. But now you're really going to have to think. Now, if you've ever read Lloyd-Jones in Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, and through the middle of chapter 5, you would already have come to the conclusion that he had made you think a whole lot. But he was telling those people, you haven't done any thinking yet. This is the heart and the depth of the epistle. I have to say, as we come to it, that I come to it with a great deal, therefore, of fear and trepidation. For many reasons, not only because it's the most difficult, but because it is a section that really, to do it justice, I would need to be going through line by line, much as we did the opening section of the book of Romans. But we can't take the whole book that way, otherwise it would last for a very, very long time. And most of us would be in glory before we'd ever get it finished. So, therefore, I can only take a brief number of studies in this particular passage. That means it's all the more condensed and all the more demanding, both of the preacher and of the listener. But I want to encourage you to listen carefully and to think actively. I want to encourage you to do that. Because here, using one of the most fundamental and far-reaching illustrations ever employed in Scripture, the Apostle Paul leads us to consider the gospel in a way in which very, very few preachers ever ask their people to consider it. If ever this was necessary, and it has always been necessary, it is more necessary today than ever. In most evangelical churches, the people wouldn't know the Pauline gospel, which, by the way, is the only gospel. They wouldn't know the gospel if it jumped out of their soup plate at them. They're so far removed from it. Furthermore, when a preacher actually expounds what the Bible terms the gospel. And remember what I said a long time back, that Romans is the most profound, prolonged exposition of the gospel in the entire Word of God. When a preacher actually expounds what the Bible says is the gospel, people wonder in most churches, what new thing is this? Well, that's a tragedy. I'm going to ask you, therefore, to think very carefully. We will not get through all of Romans 5, 12 through, I said 11, it should be 12 through 21 tonight, but we may get through 12 through 14. On the other hand, we may not. We'll take that as it comes. But first, let's read the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let me just rephrase that slightly, because a lot is going to hang on this. For that, or because, all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. The first observation I have to make tonight is certainly simple enough. That is to remark with you that this very important section of the book of Romans commences with the word wherefore. Now that's a word that marks a close connection with what the apostle has just written. Wherefore? The text simply means because of this, on this account, on the basis of what I have just stated, I am drawing the following conclusion or making the following statement. It's an important word. There are many analyses of Romans 5 that have been suggested. Many of you have grown up reading, for example, the Scofield Bible. There are many notes in that Bible that are of great importance and of great usefulness. I have to say that as far as layout of a study Bible goes, nothing has ever approached the layout of a Scofield Bible for its general usefulness. Having said that, however, there are many of the notes and, unfortunately, much of the underlying theology that drives the notes that leave much to be desired. When you read the analysis that Scofield gives us, you will see that there is something radically missing in it. I don't want to take time analyzing his analysis tonight. There's something radically missing in it. One of the reasons why it's so far off is that it cannot and does not pay proper attention to this connecting word, any treatment of this section that fails to do justice to the close connection of what Paul has just written and what he's now starting to write is obviously wrong. Question, therefore, is, what is it that Paul has just been expounding? If you have been here over the past weeks and months, I hope you'll be able to answer that. Now, I'm not going to have a pop quiz to find out who was sleeping last week and who was actually listening. But Paul has been answering or speaking about the fundamental consequence of our justification, namely security and therefore the assurance of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 1 to 11 of Romans chapter 5, his message has been that justification places believers in Christ into a new legal standing with God. A standing in which they have, verse 1, peace with God. I'm not going to go back over the exposition of Romans 5:1, but peace with God. One of the most far-reaching and important phrases in the gospel. We have reconciliation. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification then brings us into this new standing in which we have peace with God and in which we receive what he calls the hope of glory. Remembering again that in the New Testament, a hope is not something we are vaguely wishing might come to pass, but there is every reason to worry that it may not come to pass. A hope, biblically, is a waiting for a confident expectation of what God has declared to be absolutely certain. So we have the hope of glory, the certainty of glory for the justified. Now, this is what Paul is expounding. He is talking about this fundamental consequence of being justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have the hope of glory. And he goes on to show us the grounds of that assurance and security in the remainder of the first half of this great epistle or this great chapter. In all this, what Paul is doing, of course, is arguing in detail what he has stated as a sort of a proposition back in chapter 3, verse 24. He says there, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And his whole purpose in the fifth chapter is to show that this justification, this new standing, this hope of glory, this wondrous security is in and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he intends to show more. Notice carefully in Romans 3:24, the redemption that is, and underline the words, in Christ Jesus. Redemption is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that may simply mean that he is the Redeemer, that he's the one who purchased eternal salvation by a sacrifice on Calvary. It does mean that, but it means a whole lot more. Because the apostle goes on to show that he means we have redemption by being brought personally into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10, this is a little obscured in the translation. And the reason for that is something I'm not going to go into in any detail tonight. The translation is perfectly defensible as it stands. Much more than being now justified by his blood. The Greek text is in his blood. I say it's justifiable to translate by his blood because this is what is called, or translators take it to be what is called, an instrumental use of the preposition in. It means by, and there's multiplied examples of that usage in the New Testament. But given the context here, I prefer to say we're justified in his blood. Verse 10, for if we were, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved in his life.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.